your reaction to what the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Mike Nesbitt, has said this morning. David in Belfast. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen. Well, as a gay Protestant man, when I listened to the speech on Saturday, I said, thank God at last, maybe the Ulster Unionist Party have changed in their mind on same-sex marriage. And listening to him there, I've got a bit of a downer again on it. You know, gay people in this country really just want to be treated exactly the same. I'm with my partner 26 years. And, like, at the end of the day, I want to marry him. I want that same love, the same respect as everybody else. I think it's sad that Mike Nesbitt can't push himself that part to say, yes, we're going to support same-sex marriage. And as a Protestant, I haven't put it for many, many years, but at least I could have said, well, I'm going to now vote the Ulster Unions. But no, he's just down the system because he said quite clearly he couldn't put himself to it. Even gay people who are committing suicide and doing other things themselves just because they can't be treated the same.
He's entitled to a personal position. He's entitled to a religious belief. He's gone further than many other leaders in this country, to be fair to him, hasn't he? He's talking about his party being on the wrong side of history if they vote against gay marriage. You compare that to some other prominent political parties in this country.
You understand what you're saying, Stephen. Put yourself in a position of a gay person who lives in the Republic of Ireland, who lives in Scotland, or lives in Wales, or England, and how they can go about and marry their loved one that they want to marry. And Northern Ireland, we're still having this debate. At the end of the day, what about gay people's rights in Northern Ireland? And I think Mick Nesbitt could have been a leader who could have stood up and said quite clearly, you know, we need to look at this and we need to change this. And I'll tell you something, as a Protestant who hasn't voted for many years, if he had said that, and if the Ulster Unions had moved on that, I would have been backing them 100%.
What does it say to you, of what Mike Nesbitt has said this morning? What do you think he's trying to do?
I think there is some people, obviously, within the Ulster Unions party who look at this issue as an old-fashioned issue of that two people who love each other, who want to get married, should spend the rest of their life together, should be able to do that.
You can't start demonising a politician because they believe marriage is between a man and a woman, though, can you?
Okay, have you had up in Stormont people up there who were gay? And they were running a system that was only for the gay community. The press would be coming down and said, hold on a second, what about, and I was the first one to do it, I would turn and say, what about men and women as well? At the end of the day, everybody needs to have the same rights and the same respect. People love each other. I have the problem that, you know, if I love my partner, which I do, and I want to marry him, what stops anybody from giving me that right to do that? And I could do it in England, Scotland and Wales and the Republic of Ireland.
Norman in Bangor. Morning, Norman.
Stephen, I have told you before that there's going to be a vote after vote in Stormont, and on Sunday when I was in church, the minister told me there's another vote taking place in Stormont. They won't stop until gay marriage is brought into this province. And as we're seeing on the streets, in this country today, all the anti-social behaviour and all the rioting that's going on, this is what comes in when you depart from God's laws, and this is what this country is doing. It's bringing in gay marriage, all the anti-Christian laws, there's no Sabbath day anymore, parents don't take their children to church, and we're seeing it all unfold on the streets.
But this isn't about religious freedom, Norman, is it? This is about the law of the land, and should religion not be separate from legislation?
Stephen, when you take God out of a country, it becomes lawless, just like Sodom and Gomorrah become lawless because anything goes, drugs, alcohol, and we're seeing that.
Tell you what, there would be some people who would argue when you put God into a country, it can create arguments. It can create division. Religion, you look at the amount of strife there is around the world over different religions fighting with each other, Norman.
Stephen, it's not religion that's to blame for that. It's people who use religion for their evil deeds. Just like the paramilitaries here, they say for God in Ulster. It's not for God. It's for their own purposes. You don't see Christians going out rioting and killing people. It's people who aren't Christian but use religion for their evil deeds. And they're the people that get religion a bad name.
The leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Mike Nesbitt, has said on this programme today that he is worried about the rates of suicide within the LGBT community, the gay community in Northern Ireland, where he has quoted a survey which shows that 47% of those within that community have contemplated suicide. And he has attributed some of that, quote, to attitudes of people like me. So the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party is saying that he feels responsible for some of those rates. Attitudes of people like me is what he said in the programme this morning. This follows his speech at the weekend during the Ulster Unionist Party conference, in which Mike Nesbitt said the following about gay marriage in Northern Ireland.
Some of us support same-sex marriages, some of us don't. And I think it's part of the beauty of the Ulster Unionist Party that we respect each other's positions. I'm not going to labour the point today, but to those of us who cannot bring ourselves to support a change in the law, I say this, be aware, we are on the wrong side of history. There is a new generation, and they simply do not understand why there is a problem.
Emma Zanuri. Morning, Emma.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
What do you make of what Mike Nesbitt has said this morning?
Well, I sort of took part in the Yes Equality campaign in the Republic of Ireland. I am from Northern Ireland, but I have an Irish passport, so it meant a lot to me. And what I saw most from that was the engagement of young people with politics. It was masses of young people. Like, you saw the Coming Back to Vote campaign. It was one of the most crucial factors in us getting that legislation through and the change in the constitution. And I think Mike Nesbitt has missed a trick here, because if he knows he's on the wrong side of history, he's admitted that. But I think he's too afraid to actually make that leap, and he's more interested in party politics, and he's missed out on mobilising a generation of young people to vote for him and for the UUP.
Well, at least he's raising the question.
I know, but he's not standing by his admitting he knows he's on the wrong side of history, but he is not taking that brave step and saying, I am on the wrong side of history, I'm going to change my mind on this, and that's the crucial factor.
But do you not want the politician to say out loud what he believes?
Well,
so he clearly personally does not believe that two men or two women should be able to get married.
But at the end of the day, his personal convictions are not relevant to politics. That's the biggest problem in Northern Ireland, is that we take our personal convictions into Stormont with us. You know, they're not relevant. This tribal politics thing isn't relevant anymore. Young people don't care about it. But we're still seeing that happening. Every week there's a crisis in Stormont because they can't come together and use their position to represent fully the people of Northern Ireland. It's all about their own convictions.
David McNary from UKIP is with us today as well. What's your take on this, David? Why do you think Mike Nesbitt has said this now?
Well, I listened to Mike Nesbitt's interview intently this morning, and one word sums up his approach to politics, and it's shifty. I think a considerable number of voters, particularly in his own party, will be very anxious that if not next week, when we actually will have a vote, then the following week or the following week, Mike Nesbitt will lead his party to vote for gay marriage. He says we're all, not just him, but we're all on the wrong side of history.
Well, he said the party's not going to be led anywhere. In other words, it's a free vote for all their members.
Well, free votes are always very good, but people look to see where the leadership is, what the leader is doing, where is the direction of leadership. And when he says they're on the wrong side of history, that's clearly a code for priming his party to vote for gay marriage in the future.
That's not what he's saying.
That means that the...
Why are you putting words in his mouth? Why are you putting words in his mouth when it's not what he has said? In fact, he's made it very clear that on the next vote, he will vote against gay marriage.
I didn't think he made anything clear because, of course, he said on the next vote. What about the next vote after that? How many times has the Assembly got to be brought to vote on one subject? As many times as five, it'll be next Monday or Tuesday when we have a debate. Five times on one subject. How many more times will they keep rolling and rolling out this debate In fact, I would hope I may speak to the Speaker and ask him, do we need to have a debate for the fifth time? Can we not just go straight into a vote?
What about the statistics that Mike Nesbitt brought to this programme this morning? And I don't have the survey in front of me, and I need to get it, all right? And John O'Doherty from the Rainbow Project, it was your survey, is that right? Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Can I hear you?
Yes. Can you hear me?
You're in a terrible line.
Sorry, I'm on a landline.
Let's see if we can get it. Let's see if we can get it improved. We'll come back to you, John, later. David McNary, Mike Nesbitt quoting suicide, those contemplating suicide within the LGBT community, as 47%. He said 71% suffered depression. Are you not deeply concerned about those figures?
They're very, very shocking figures, and I'm not sure that people contemplating suicide is because they can't have a gay marriage. But nevertheless, we have terrible, appalling figures for young people of all kinds, if you like, who are contemplating suicide. You could have a member in Newton Abbey and South Antrim, Ken Boyle, working on this for us. He told me last week that in the past month he had 5 young people coming to him who were contemplating suicide. I don't know whether they were gay or not. The point about it is they are shocking statistics, and I think that we need to be looking at these causes for the young people contemplating that. Our suicide figures are horrendous. They really are horrendous.
Well, those figures in anybody's book are absolutely shocking. If nearly half, and John O'Doherty, do let me bring you, sorry, we're getting John O'Doherty, we're having problems getting him back. We'll see if we can get him in a second or two. Tell you what we will do. Let's hear again what Mike Nesbitt said about this survey.
The Rainbow Project have done some really good research, and when I say really good, it's robust, it's detailed, it's reliable. They're saying in the LGBT community, 47% have considered suicide. 25, 1 in 4 have actually attempted suicide. 35% have self-harmed. 71% suffered depression. And the attitude of people like me to them with regard to opposing same-sex marriage is a factor. And I have to think very hard about that. And actually, the National Health Service, if you don't want to accept the Rainbow Project's research, the NHS confirm that the LGBT community have higher levels of anxiety and depression and suicidal feelings than the heterosexual community. And that gives me pause.
So just to be accurate, to be totally fair to Mike Nesbitt, he is quoting that survey from the Rainbow Project. We're getting John O'Doherty. In fact, John O'Doherty, you're with us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
When you have a politician, the leader of a political party, quoting those statistics, which are absolutely astonishing, and saying that the attitude of people like me is a factor. They are saying the attitude of people like me is a factor, to be accurate. And I have to think hard about that. What's your response to him?
I think it's a positive addition to the narrative around LGBT issues here in Northern Ireland, Stephen. I think it is a reality. Mike Nesbitt was at the launch of that research and spoke very strongly about the importance of good mental health services and addressing the inequalities experienced by too many here in Northern Ireland in relation to mental health. And just to clarify, it's not just in relation to mental health. It's the decades of inequality, of abuse, of homophobia, of transphobia that LGBT people have suffered that have led to the poor mental health outcome.
Let me, because David McNary is still with me this morning, I want to speak to him as well. But John, help me in terms of this survey. I didn't know anything about it until Mike Nesbitt walked in the door this morning. How many people were surveyed? How robust is it?
Surveyed over 500 people. We had a steering group of key mental health professionals and key organisations right across Northern Ireland. It was funded by Comic Relief, and it directly reflects the experiences of LGBT people who spoke to us. But not only does it reflect the experience here in Northern Ireland, when we look at research across the UK and we look at research in the Republic of Ireland, the statistics are very similar. Those poor health outcomes are a reality for LGBT people, and not just in relation to mental health, but also in relation to physical health as well. We need to change how our society views LGBT people. We need to celebrate the positive impact so many LGBT people have in our society, and that's the only way to create the type of society that we want and address those health inequalities.
The question about Mike Nesbitt, John, and this is a question that I'll ask you, David, in a second, and I'll ask all of you listening this morning. Is Mike Nesbitt providing a helpful contribution to this debate, and is he helping gay people in this country, or is he politicking? Is he simply trying to draw a huge line of difference between him and the DUP? Now, which do you think it is, John?
I think it's a helpful addition to the narrative. I would like to see it go further, but what we're seeing is huge strides forward in England, Scotland and Wales, in the Republic of Ireland, and LGBT people in Northern Ireland have their faces pressed against the window in hope for real equality. More people today support equal marriage than ever before. That's particularly true for young people. And I think Mike's right that those who oppose LGBT issues, those who oppose equal marriage, are going to find themselves on the wrong side of history on this issue.
And yet he's still prepared to vote against it.
And that's the very surprising thing.
You should respect that.
Well, I think Mike's hope, and I think he said this on the BBC on Saturday, is that this will be addressed by the courts. I think we need to see more leadership in this issue. I think we need to see leadership in Stormont.
Is that not a cop-out for a politician?
I think it is. The reality is you can't be married in one part of the UK and not married in another. The ridiculous legal situation that we're in could easily be addressed by Stormont. The unfortunate position is that particularly our unionist politicians, despite supporting being part of the UK, despite calling for parity across the UK, don't believe that rights that exist in other parts of the UK should exist here in Northern Ireland.
David McNary?
Well, what's worrying about this debate is what we are seeing developing here is a challenge to my right and every other MLA's right to vote in the Assembly according to how they feel about this particular issue for the fifth time of gay marriage. I will be voting against it, as I have successfully done. And I feel I am representing the majority, a very sizable majority, of the people in my constituency. It's what I'm being told at meetings, at informal get-togethers and from regular small polls that we take, and it's what the local church members support. Now, this is a direct challenge to me to be saying, you shouldn't be listening to those people. You shouldn't be representing them. Well, I'm sent there to represent everybody, but when it comes down to a yes or no situation, I've made myself very clear, I will be voting against gay marriage. It's as simple as that.
And you've got to respect that, John O'Doherty, that the overwhelming Democratic majority in this country do not want it.
I do have to respect the votes of the Assembly, but I think the real challenge to democracy at the minute is the petition of concern, which has already been tabled, which means that no matter how the vote goes next Monday, what we know is that it cannot pass. The reality is, I know at this stage that there will be more Assembly members voting in support of equal marriage than ever before, and that is the narrative of this campaign, Stephen. Every day there are more people coming to support equal marriage. There was once a time where there were no countries in the world that had legal same-sex marriage. Now we have over 20.
There's a single direction of travel
in this campaign, a single direction of travel, and unfortunately Northern Ireland is being left behind right across these islands.
If I may say so, John, I do totally agree with you with the erroneous use of petitions of concern, particularly in this one. But nevertheless, a vote is taken, and we will see just who votes for and who votes against. And if those numbers have shifted in a manner in which you expect, I assume that they'll have shifted because the Ulster Unionist members have decided, like Danny Kinahan in the past, that they're going to vote for it. So we'll see the numbers next week, and then we'll maybe look at the argument again.
Do you know what, though? This story today is well beyond the Ulster Unionist Party. Just because Mike Nesbitt has brought these figures from this Rainbow Project survey to our attention.
But those figures, Stephen, don't say that everybody contemplating suicide is doing so because of gay marriage. And I would refute that.
Well, John O'Doherty, it's your research. What do the figures say?
There's a problem in mental health with young people, per se, committing suicide or contemplating it. The fact that LGBT people have done their survey is commendable. It shows a pattern. But there are other patterns from people not in that community who are exactly the same position, for different reasons, I assume, are maybe sharing the same reasons in terms of their feelings and their mental health.
Fair enough, David, what you've said there. John O'Doherty, maybe you could tell us what these maybe you could tell us, John, what these figures say. For example, in terms of those who have contemplated suicide, what does your survey say?
What we're seeing, Stephen, is that the experiences of inequality are the reasons why people are experiencing poor mental health outcomes. A big part of that is experience and education. For many people my age, and I'm about 31, what they experienced in school was complete invisibility, isolation, being told that being gay is something wrong, something to be ashamed of, and something that can be changed. That there has been a very limited acceptance of LGBT people in our society in the past. But that's changing. We're seeing real positive change. When we look at Belfast Pride this year, the largest Pride parade on the island of Ireland, over 50,000 people out in the streets supporting LGBT culture, supporting LGBT rights, supporting LGBT.
So it is too much of a leap to link those figures of suicide and those who have contemplated suicide to a lack of gay marriage in this country, isn't it?
Oh, that would definitely be unfair. Absolutely. What we have to remember is that it was only in 1982 homosexuality.
But Nesbitt did in his interview with me. He linked it. Use his words. Say them over again.
I don't think he did. I think that's...
He did. You get Stephen to play the interview over again.
Let's play Mike Nesbitt's words again. This is what Mike Nesbitt did say on the programme earlier this morning, just about an
hour ago. The Rainbow Project have done some really good research. And when I say really good, it's robust, it's detailed, it's reliable. They're saying in the LGBT community, 47% have considered suicide. 25, one in four have actually attempted suicide. 35% have self-harmed. 71% suffered depression. And the attitude of people like me to them with regard to opposing same-sex marriage is a factor. And I have to think very hard about that. And actually, the National Health Service, if you don't want to accept the Rainbow Project's research, the NHS confirm that the LGBT community have higher levels of anxiety and depression and suicidal feelings than the heterosexual community. And that gives me pause.
Joe in Belfast. Morning, Joe.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, Joe.
Stephen, just thinking about, you know, Mike Nesbitt on talking about, you know, this, that and the other. The only thing I want to say about it is, you see the whole Adam up and storming, tell them all to put their coats on and go home. Because they're doing nothing for anybody. All you hear is talks, wait, talks, wait, talks. Listen.
Well, now, what about this issue we're talking about this morning?
Yeah. The issue we're talking about this morning, I'm talking about he's an MP and he's supposed to be helping the people. They're doing nothing, Stephen. They're doing nothing for anybody.
So thank you. Mary and Lurgan. Morning, Mary.
Hello, Stephen. I think Mike, not just picking him out of the bunch there, but I think he would need to sit and think very hard. He's an educated man. I've known him, I've met him. I would have thought more higher of him than this, I think. He would need to sit and think that gay marriage is going to come. There's a lot of people out there, Stephen. It's all I wanted to say to you today was, as they were born gay, it's their God-given right to be and do whatever they choose, to get married, to do what we have done, what we've wanted to do in life. I think if he has a family, he has a family himself. He shouldn't be where he is if he thinks the way he thinks. I would love, Steve, the next time you have him on air or speaking to him, to ask him, what would you do, Mike, if you had a grandson or a son come into you or a daughter that was gay? What would be...
Well, he actually mentioned that in his speech. Let me read it to you.
Did
it? Here's what he says.
Never heard it.
Let me read some of the speech to you. He said in his speech at the weekend, we also need to think about the cold spot that is how we are perceived by members of the LGBT community. What if it was your son, your daughter? What would you want for them? What would you offer them? I hope the answer is unconditional love.
But you see, Stephen, saying that and living it is two different things. He's only surmising. It's a different story, Stephen, when you have a son or a daughter is like this. They're branded all sorts of things, they're called all sorts of names. They just don't want them to live at all. All I would want to say to you is, as a mother and to somebody else out there, they want the best for their child. They want the same for their child that they got for the rest of their children.
Let me let David McNally speak to you.
I hear what you say, and I'm...
I hope you do. Because I can tell you it's not easy.
Well,
every day isn't easy when you have your son coming in and called abuse and stuff from complete strangers that don't even know him.
I understand what you're saying.
He was born in...
Hold on, Mary. Let David speak to you, please.
I do understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, and what you're telling me is shameful.
Yep.
It's a part of society that, irrespective of where it comes from and what's it about, sometimes we are so cruel to other people.
I can't change that, then.
Completely lack of understanding and ignorance of things.
Yep.
There's no person on earth should be suffering, I take it, what your own son is suffering.
No.
Can I just say that in Scotland, UKIP's MEP is gay. And he's one of he's just a regular guy, and I've got to know him, and I think he's a great guy in every respect. And he doesn't ram gay anything down my throat or anybody else's.
That's right.
I can also just say, I've just completed the selection of UKIP candidates for the Assembly election, and one of our candidates who'll be running is gay.
And do you think their sexuality, David, is normal?
All that I believe is that they have a position in society to be what they are whenever, in whichever way they choose to be.
But these party colleagues of yours, do you believe their sexuality is natural and normal?
I've got to say, Stephen, I really don't delve into it, not even for you, but personally I just don't delve into it. I accept them as who they are, and their own personal lives, their own personal business.
You said a matter of moments ago of who they choose to be. You're not suggesting that they choose to be gay, are you?
Well, you know, I don't want to banter about with terminology. Let me just say, the people that I've mentioned are people that I respect, people that I've got to know.
Okay.
And their personal views are their personal views.
Okay, we appreciate you being on the programme this morning, David. Mike Nesbitt, talking about a Rainbow survey this morning, in which he says 47% of the respondents have contemplated suicide. My goodness, we'll have more on this after the 10 o'clock news.